Okay, so the last thing we learned was that if someone is Moser Shtarotov LeBeidin, Inan Mishamtin. Now, I must tell you that there is a big machlokas about what this means. Because Lamaisa, the concept of being Moser Shtarotov LeBeidin, it seems to be that that is really a deraisa. And that comes from Moser Shtarotov LeBeidin from a diuk, which the Sifrei makes, right? It says, Va'asher yiyelecha t'achicha tishamat yadecha. So what tishmat yadecha, what is that? We learn that out, prat l'moser shtarotov l'beitin. We're over there, it's only what is v'achicha, but if you gave it over already to beitin, so then it's not going to be mishamet. Mashmar it's halacha d'yoraita. If it's a halacha d'yoraita, so why do we need a prizbal? Well, what if you don't have a shtar? What if you have a loan? What if you hold like the Beis Yosef? And the idea is that really any loan, remember we talked yesterday, any debt is considered to be the equivalent of a loan. And the only reason that we said there's a difference with a charge account is because it doesn't have a particular time on it. And therefore, it's nogea the other question. At what point is Shvius Bishami? And that is a more fundamental issue. Suppose you have a loan that isn't due until 5 years after Shvius. What would you say? So, well, Shvius passed over that loan. It's too bad. You'll never be able to collect that loan. Doesn't sound all that reasonable. Why? Because the fact is that there cannot be an iser of yigoset re'ehu, right? Because even if I wanted to pressure you, I can't pressure you on a loan that's due 5 years from now. And therefore, where there is no lo yigos, there is also no din of shmita being mishamet. Now, let's not talk about a loan due 5 years from now. Let's talk about a loan due 5 minutes from now. There's absolutely no difference between those two cases. In terms of my ability to pressure you, if you have 5 minutes, I still can't pressure you, right? And therefore, if the payback time of the loan is at any point after Shvius, so then even if it's 5 seconds after Shvius, I should not actually have any problem in collecting it when it does become due. So that is a major question over here. Is that the case? If that's the case, so then the Moser Shtarotov, the introduction that we had over here, the Chena Moser Shtarotov, gets a different meaning as well. Right now we're talking about I have loans that are due. If you hold that also, let me just talk about that halakha for a moment, by the way, just that you should know that the truth is that, first of all, as we saw in the Mishnah, Shvius is only Mishamit on the last second. That was the difference between the case when it was ended up being the first day Rosh Hashanah or ended up being the last day of Elul, correct? It was yesterday's idea. So if it turned out that you owed the money to the guy who did the Shechita of the animal for you and it was owed to him a minute before the end of Shemitah, pow, you don't have to pay for it. If it was owed after Shemitah, then you do have to pay for it. So now the issue is whether that is actually true, that Shvius is only Mishametet B'Sofah. Yes, that's how we paskin, that Shvius is Mishametet B'Sofah, and therefore you have a right to collect the loan throughout the entire Shemitah year. That's the simple meaning of the Mishnah. The problem is that the Tosefta says that you have to write the Prizbal Erev Shvius. Why? We're not knowing to write the Prizbal Erev Shvius. We write the Prizbal right before the end of Shvius, that Shvius will not be Mishamet. Now, based on that, the Rosh paskins that it's true that Shvius is not Mishamet until the end, but the Isser of Lo Yigoset Re'ehu is part of the Dinim of Shemitah, just like the Isser of working in your field is part of the Isser of Shemitah. So there's two different things. The loan, albeit exists until the end of Shemitah, but you're not allowed to collect it. That's why the Tosefta is saying write the principle before. So therefore, we don't have any contradiction to our Mishnah from that Braita, and the Rosh actually paskins this. You cannot have a principle written at the end and think that that is going to give you the right to collect your debts in the middle. So that's the main question. We don't paskin like that, Rosh. We paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that you are allowed to collect your loan, the entire Shemitah. And of course, here we get to that other question. We're getting back to the Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah claims that as opposed to what everyone assumes and what we saw as the Lashon of the Rambam, that there's a difference between something that was created as a loan and something that was created by services rendered, you're working for somebody, or a sale, and that those things are not included in the whole idea of Shemitah, the Kesef Mishnah says, that's not the point. The point is that those things do not have a particular time at which they're collected, and therefore we always look at them as being due after Shviyas. And since we've just paskin right now that something that's due after Shviyas is not collectible, so because of that, if you have a makolet bill, does it say when it's collectible? It's collectible whenever the guy decides to turn it into a loan, so to speak. But we already said that. So it's not really collectible because you keep charging, and some poor storekeepers allow their customers to continue to charge long beyond when they should. And then the guy goes bankrupt and he can't pay the bill. This happens all the time. I actually know a number of makolets that went out of business by doing exactly that. But that's exactly what the Kesef Mishnah says. That's the problem of customer relations. And that's why the Shviyas is not going to affect it. So now, if we take the point of departure, that there are, in fact, two completely different things. And the issue, therefore, is what the loan is. So then, suppose I don't have an actual loan document. So how am I supposed to be Moser Shtaros of Lebesden? If Moser Shtaros of Lebesden is a D'oraisa, I don't need a principal, but only on a Milva Bishtar. Remember that we said before that the Shviyas is Meshamed Bein Milva Bishtar, Bein Milva Shebal Peh, and so on. It cancels it. How am I going to collect an oral loan? I'm going to give over to Bezdin a recording of the loan. So if you understand it that way, then the point of a principle is to give Bezdin the right to go ahead and collect for you all outstanding loans, even if there's no contract on the loan. And that's how it's working, as creating the equivalent of a contractual loan and giving it over to Bezdin. Now, if that's the case, then the only need for the principal is where you don't have a contract. If you do have a contract, you could actually give it over to Bezdin. Of course, it's a bit more convenient to write a principal than handing over your shtarot, but it's simply taking the place of a concept that's the Arisa. Now, there's one big problem with that approach. And the problem with that approach is that Rashi believes that that drasha, which is where the Sifri learns out, that is only an Asmachta B'Alma, and that in reality, there's no such din. That din is an Asmachta that was created by the fact that that Hillel created a principal, and the principal is Moshe Shtaros of Lebesna. So the Sifrei is giving a Makor and the Pasuk as an Asmachta to a principle. But you can't say that the mechanism of the principle is in and of itself the Moser Shtaros of Lebesden. So that definitely makes the transition a little bit more difficult, right? Because the last thing that we had in Mishnah Beis is the introduction to Mishnah Gemel, today's Mishnah, is that the truth is Moser Shtaros of Lebesden ain't a Mishamtim. If that's the pashas of the mechanism, then we understand the next step is the principle. So therefore, Mishnah Gimel is like this. A principle is also not Mishami. But once you have that principle, so then there's no issue of Shemitah being Mishami. And this was one of the big takunas of Hillel HaZaken. Why did he make this takunah? Because remember that there are three different mitzvahs that the Rambam lists that are associated with Shemitah's Ksofim. One of them is the lo yigos, which is an iser lav, and one of them is the shmot, that you're supposed to be meshamet the loan. And the third one is, he shomer lecha is a lashon of lav. Kol makom shenemar, he shomer, al, and so on, all of them are lavim. So it says, he shomer lecha, pen yeh davar, im levavcha b'li'al. And it says in the pasuk, karva, what is that? Lemor. The guy's thinking to himself, oh my God, karva shenat ha-sheva, shenat ha-shmita, and then v'ra'inecha. So now you're going to say, I can't lend him the money. What if he doesn't pay back in time? And you're going to be ra'inecha b'chicha v'yom v'lo titen lo. So if you do that, you're going to be over a lot. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean you're supposed to be stupid? Does it mean you're supposed to actually give the loan to someone that you know you're going to lend lose the money? Now, obviously, the subtlety of the understanding where you are throwing your money out and where it is that you don't have a right to be cheshish for that leaves a broad gap for people to rationalize not making loans where they should be making loans and being over on an iser d'oraisa. But because of that, Hillel wanted to make it possible for society to function in such a way that the Ashirim won't be punished for being unwilling to make loans, and Aniyim won't suffer from the fact that they won't be able to get a loan. So therefore, the principle is nogea both the Ashir and the Ani. It's a takona for the ongoing functioning of society. And that's why it's actually called a prusbul. The lashon of prusbul, the Gemara says, is a prus, which is a Greek word for a tikkun, for buli and buti. And remember that those lashonas we had many places that we have ashirim and aniyim is buli and buti, and therefore prusbuli buti is what the real meaning of a prusbul is. Here's a takana for ashirim and aniyim. Okay, so we made it into a contract, and since Nimnu Amil Halvot Zeh Et Zev Ovrima Mashi Katuv BaTorah Yishamer Lecha Pen Yedavarim Levavcha B'Liyal, etc., Hitkin Hillel Lepruzbal, and that's why he made this takana as a pros Lepruzbal would mean as a pros buli ubuti, a takana for all, for the rich and for the poor. Okay, so that is an introduction to Prusbul. Main issues of the Prusbul, we'll discuss in Mishnah Dalet and see all of the different dinim and how it actually works and what the actual lashon is. Mishnah Dalet. Zehu gufa shel Prusbul. So now the main point of a Prusbul, we're talking about the correct nusach of a Prusbul, goes like this. I see we didn't succeed in keeping Yitzi and Ariel here anyway. All right. So it goes like this. Moser ani lachem, ish ploni uploni, hadayanim shebemakom ploni, shekol chov sheyeshli, sheegbenu kol zman she'ertze. That's a little bit weird, because, I mean, normally when you're selecting a Beit Din, you need to have three dayanim. Over here it only says, ish ploni uploni, hadayanim shebemakom ploni. How could there be only two judges? That's one thing that looks a little strange in the Mishnah. And then, what does it mean to say, I give over in your hands that I shall be able to collect all chovot that I have? How can I do that? How could I possibly say that you give me the right because I write this? And therefore, there's another girsa, which is, Moser ani lechem ish ploni uploni hadayanim, etc., kol chov sheyeshli. Not that I'm giving you over that kol chov sheyeshli, but rather I'm giving over to the Beis Din with this, so it becomes a power of attorney, so to speak, for the Beis Din to act on his behalf, all of my chovot, and as soon as I want it collected, you will collect it for me, which is a completely different meaning, Lechara, right? So in that case, we said that just like in the second Mishnah, we talked about a Moses Torotov LeBeitin. So we said that that is not considered to be Mishamet. According to Moshita's, even Midiraisa, it's not Mishamet. And that's not considered to be the Chavera. It's not considered to be something between him and someone else. Once he gives it over, it's in the hands of Beis Din. And therefore, he's not going to be over on forcing the collection. It's already been done. Whatever he needs to do has already been done. So if we learn that that's a deraisa, and that was a question of how to learn the Sifrei, whether the Sifrei was a actually expressing the din of a prusbel as if it was the asmachta on the posuk, or whether the Sifrei was actually telling us the ikar din midiraisa, and now the prusbel is an application, a virtual application of such a din, that was a big machlokas. We'll talk about over as we go back to discuss how the prusbel would work. But since there's no isra of lo yigos in these circumstances, so it should be okay. The question is, the girsa that we have in the Mishnah, which is sort of like, I hereby let you know that I should be able, I mean, what do you mean, I hereby let you know? So then, how would that work? That would have to work in the opposite way. I am letting you know that I have these debts, and I would like you to empower me to be able to collect them from the rights of the power of Beis Din. So then, if that's what it means, then ha-dayanim chotmim lamata, o ha-edim. Now that, again, doesn't make sense. So if this is a hasha'ah of Beit Din, then it makes sense. It would have to be the dayanim that sign. But what does it mean, o ha-edim? Just the edim will sign? So, I mean, if the edim sign that I gave over by Shar, that's one thing. But how could edim sign on something that the Beis Din has to actually be willing to do? So there are some who learn that the Beis Din actually writes the prusbel. And in the event that the Dayanim are signing, so then they write, Mr. So-and-so has appeared in front of our Beit Din, and he gave us over his chovot to collect at any point that he desires to collect them, and then they sign that. Now, that would be an actual signature from the Beis Din itself that his loans are therefore not going to be mishumat. But you could also have a prusbel in which the edim sign in front of us, and our names signed beneath, in front of us, Mr. So-and-so, handed over his chovot to this Beis Din, they define the Beis Din, and then the edim sign. And what's more, even if there's no way that he could have done that, because the edim are saying he gave it over to such and such a Beis Din, such and such a Beis Din might be in a different country that he would have had no access to, which is pretty standard, that there's a Beis Din HaGadol that accepts the responsibility for the prusbels and you write it out, as we're going to see. So how can they sign on that? So this is a discussion in the Yerushalmi that it doesn't matter, because the Beis Din, basically, if he does sign such a thing, in front of the Edim, and the Edim sign at the bottom, so then, Enochinami, he wrote, I'm handing over to Ploni Uploni, Dayanim B'makom Ploni, which does not mean that he's in that place. So that would be the way that it would work with the signature of the edim itself.
So it's like a shliach tzibur. It's the Beis Din is available, so we assume that they accept it, even though they didn't do a maisa to accept it.
Right, that's correct. So now again, if this is a din d'oraita, so what exactly, and it would be based on the diak of the Sifri, which is dafka asher ye l'cha, the dafka tachicha. So this is not achicha between you and him. And therefore, midiraisa, it should be good. So then what is Hillel adding in that case with his takana of a prusbel? He's adding, as we mentioned earlier, that even though in this case there really wasn't a Moshe Shtar Otov L'Beit Din, maybe he doesn't even have a shtar, because we said that these are even oral loans, that it's able to be prusbeled. So that would be the chiddush, that it's included in the Moshe Shtar Otov L'Beit Din. How he could do this, we'll discuss in a moment. Because, I mean, if it wouldn't be Mishamed, so how could he possibly be Mishamed? Right. Or it could be that Adarabba, the din in the Sifri, is actually based on Hillel's takana of prusbel, and it isn't a diaraisa, and it's basically a takana, and the Sifri is an esmachta. Again, as we described. Now, the question is, how is it possible to make a takana that allows you to be over an Isser D'Oraisa? Torah says you're not allowed to be toveil your loans. So what? So Hillel is going to do something that it makes it possible to be toveil your loans. I mean, the Chachomim can only make a takana that's b'shev v'alta aseh. But how in the world could you actually make a takana that you're going to be over on something with an actual maisa? Doesn't make sense. So many learn that there are two approaches in the Gemara. And we'll see that that's not necessarily the case. And many understand that the Gemara, this is a Gemara in Gittin, that discusses what it is, and it appears to be a machlokas. So Abaye says that the inyan is that we're talking about b'shvias b'zman hazeh, which is Rebbe Shita, that ein ha-shvias noheges ela b'zman sha-yovel noheg. And since yovel is only noheg b'zman, that you have kol yoshvei aleha, which means at least you have rov, or you have representatives of each shevet, that's all about klokas, what is considered to be yoshvei aleha. But bizman hazeh, well, we don't have that, so the entire din of shmitas ksofim is the same as shmitas karkos. And therefore, in that case, the yovel's shmitas karkos, where it goes back, is similar to over here, which is also similar to that well, the money goes back, so to speak. In other words, we cancel all debts, just like we cancel all sales. We start over again. The same idea. So therefore, they're interdependent. We spoke about this at the beginning of the perek, that it's a remarkable thing because we're dealing with something that seems to be a relationship to specifically Vishav Sa'aretz and all of the inyonim that have to do with Kedusha Sa'aretz. And all of a sudden, because Shemitah's Ksofim is not related to the land, so therefore it obtains also in Chutz La'aretz, and yet it retains its connection to the din of Yovel and Shemitah's Karkaot. I mean, it seems to be that on some level, the din of Shemitah forces an interrelationship of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz in terms of Ksofim as opposed to Karkaot, which is a remarkable idea. So in other words, even though there's no Kedusha Sakarka and there's no real relationship that a person has to place in Chutz La'aretz, there's no specific meaning to any place where you live, but that's exactly the relationship of value of a thing to the thing itself. So when you're talking about Momon, which is just an issue of value as opposed to a specific relationship to an item, that is Shayach in Chutz La'aretz, which is maybe why money is everything in Chutz La'aretz, and the entire life revolves around the money as opposed to the actual chibur to a mokum. But in any event, that would be one approach. So since the idea is only a derabbanan, so therefore a derabbanan would be able to also be mevato what they said. So if the whole idea is a Rabbanan, so Hillel can also be metaken, a prusbel, which affects only a takana Rabbanan. That you can do. And therefore, we don't have a problem of ein bezdin oikir davar min ha-tera b'kum ve'aseh. There is no davar min ha-tera. But ein achinami bizman hazeh, then the prusbel would be a joke. What right do you have to make a prusbel? Which is how the Rambam paskins, that in a time where Shemitah is d'oraisa, so then a prusbel is not going to give you anything. And then, of course, there would be a question. Will Mesira Shtarosov literally give him something? However, there is some discussion, by the way, about whether at the time that the actual takana was made, did Hillel make a takana while there was a Shemitah D'Oraisa? Because he was during the time of the bias. That's a whole machlokas. Whether there was, that's nogea how we understand the Yoshvei Aleha. And according to that there's the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, that during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a Yovel, not only for purposes of maintaining the dating of the Shemitah, in which case, Hillel couldn't have been Mitzaken a Prusbel, according to this. So how was he Mitzaken a Prusbel? You'll have to say that he was Mitzaken then because he foresaw the Zman that it would only be Drabbanan, and he wanted to make sure that people wouldn't come to penyed avarim levavcha bliyal, which is not the simple meaning of the way the Mishnah introduced it. It's that he saw that people were coming to, okay, so here it's he foresaw, and not that he actually saw.
Like setting up the calendar in advance, expecting that we won't be able to do it.
Right. Fine. Now, the question is how to understand the next piece of the Gemara. Because if you're telling me, says the Gemara, that there is no din of a Shemitah D'oraisa, so what would that mean? That if you borrowed money, you're mechuyev to pay back the money. So how were the Chachamim mitaken that you don't have to pay it back? Now, this is a question on the Iker Takon of Shemitah Bezman Hazeh for Shemitah's Ksafim. How are the Chachamim telling you that you can keep money that you borrowed if you're not allowed to keep it, Midiraita? So there, Abaye Taina, is that the reason is because there it's a Sheva Tasa. To tell me I don't have to pay back, there's a Rabbanan saying, okay, so you can be over on an Isser of not paying back by passively not paying back. And it's here that we get into the problem, because Rava says that the reason that we made this takana is because Hefker Besdin Hefker. So Hefker Besdin Hefker means, of course, that the Rabbanan have a right to define who the owner is of property. And therefore, if it's Hefker Besdin Hefker, so then you could say that that defines the entire story. Instead of the whole discussion of whether it's Prisbo works because it's Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, which is only Derabbanan, and so on and so forth. If Rava is saying that the Takana would only work through Hefker Besdin Hefker, so then that means that that would be the Moker of the original Takana of Prisbo. Even though you are actually not allowed to be Tovea this loan, the Chachamim went ahead and they said that even if it's D'oraisa, since this is something that has to do with who owns the money, we're not being Ikra Dover Min HaTorah. We made this money yours. Okay, that's one approach among the Rishonim in the Gemara. Masha Enkein, the other approach is that Rava wasn't talking about the issue of the original question at all. He was only talking about that if you hold that there's no din of Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, how in the world were the Rabbanan able to make a takana lechatchila that there should be Shemitah Bezman Hazeh when it comes to money? And he's answering Hefker Besdin Hefker. But that does not answer how a prisbo works. That over there we're telling you that you're allowed to go ahead and actually be Toveya. Why is that dependent on Hefker Besdin Hefker? That's because Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only Midrabbanan. The question is, all right, should we wait a little bit more time over here before Maishi, we give up on Maishi? Okay, so let's do a little bit more. What do we do about the fact that it says over here, Ploni uploni hadayon? That's a good question. Does it mean that you only need two dayonim? Because, I mean, normally a bezdin is a bezdin of Shleisha. So in Achinami, the Gemara says that since this is more of a mesira, and it's just a notification, but it's not an actual psak of bezdin, so it's fine for there to be just two. Masha Enke, if you say that even in this case, which is a machlokas amaroyim, so if you say in this case that you need three, so then you can't be medayak and ploni uploni, because it's just that the Mishnah is not going to sit there and blabble, right? That's the lashon that the Gemara uses all the time. Tanaki ruchla, what's he supposed to be? An Avon man that's announcing over and over again, you know, this is what I have to sell. It says, ploni ploni adayonim. You understand that dayonim would obviously be shlosha. That's very interesting, because when the Rambam brings the halacha, he brings the Mishnah and he makes a very small change. Lifnechem ploni uploni uploni. So he simply puts in the third ploni to make sure that you won't make a mistake, and that in Achinami, you are giving it over to a full bezdin of three. Then the question, okay, is there an afkamina of who signs? Is it the dayonim that sign, or is it the edim that sign? That's a little bit also of a machlokas as to how it works. So that basically, as we'll see when we get to the psak, there's two different ways of writing a prosbo. you can write it as if it's being done by the Dayanim and then Dayanim sign, or you can have it as a Lashon of Edim. I mean the Edim sign that you gave it to the Dayanim, or you can have it that it's just written, we witnessed this, and then Dayanim sign. The other approach is that it's simply an indication that it doesn't make a nafka mina. Why? Because even though normally we say ein eid nase dayan, and if you were involved in something as an aid, so then you cannot be the dayan in that thing. When it comes to a principle, the reason that it says either the dayanim or the aidim is simply to teach me that benogea principle eid nase dayan, and it's not a concern. Okay. So that is the basics. Again, not la halacha. We'll go into the halacha separately, but that's the basics of the issues of this Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Daled. We've been discussing, and didn't have enough time to finish up, the ideas of the Prusbel. We saw that there's a big machlokas about how to understand the Moser Shtaros of Lebesdin. So the simple meaning, according to most of the Rishonim, is that Moser Shtaros of Lebesdin and Prusbel are two completely different issues. And that Midiraisa, this is how most understand that Sifrei, that Midiraisa, this is how the Rambam seems to learn, it's definitely the way Tosfos learns, he speaks about the Farish, that Midiraisa, someone who gives over Shtarotov Lebesdin, is not going to be Chayev in Shemitas Ksofim because of the fact that we darshan, as the Sifrei does, the lashon of achicha, and since this goes into the Besdin, it's no longer shayech to achicha, and therefore, when the Mishnah says, before discussing Prusbel, that this was the second Mishnah, so when Mishnah Beis says that mishmosa shtarotov lebesdin, it's not considered to be bishameit, that was a din d'oraita. And then, when afterwards we talk about when Hillel saw that the people were not lending money, so he went to be Misakin of Prusbel. So then we understood that the Prusbel utilizes this mechanism, but applies it even where I don't actually hand over my shtarot, and for that matter, even when I don't even have shtarot to hand over, and I'm able to give over to the Besdin. So it works because it's as if we consider it to be in the hands of the Besdin to collect. Therefore, it will not be Meshameh, but that is a tremendous addition to the idea. According to Rashi, Rashi understands that Mishnah as being the description of a Prusbel. In other words, it introduces it. Someone who's Moser Shtaros of the Besdin, how does he do that? By writing a Prusbel, which essentially says, I hereby ask the Besdin to collect for me. That is the takona of Hillel. What do you do with the fact that the Sifrei darshened it from the words of Sachicha? It's an ismach to biyama. This seems to be the way that Rashi understands it, that it's just an ismachta. As I said, almost everyone is chalek on Rashi and understands that it's actually not based on Prusbel. It's a separate din d'oraisa that the Mishnah is talking about, that a Moser Shtaros of Lebesdin without writing a Prusbel would not be mishamet at all. So now the question is, okay, so what does the Prusbel do? Is the Prusbel a Moser Shtaros of? If he has Shtaros and he's writing the Prusbel, I do hand over all of my chovos to you that you should collect whenever, that I should collect whenever I want. Do I actually hand over the shtarot? No, I don't actually hand over the shtarot. Somehow or other, the Prusbel is going to achieve that. That's almost everybody, 99%, agree that that's true. So how exactly does that work? So we spoke about the Gemara in which the question is whether this is all based on Hefker Besdin Hefker. And the question is, does that mean that the initial takana, that there should be such a thing as a Shemitas Ksofim Bisman Hazeh, how does the Besdin have a right to do that? Because, I mean, isn't that stealing? So there could be that the basic takana on its own is a din in Hefker Besdin Hefker. And therefore, the question whether the principle itself works through Hefker Bezdin Hefker, or whether the principle is simply an enactment on Shvius Bisman Hazeh, which is the Rabbanan, and therefore the Rabbanan can say, same way they made it, they can say that, well, in these terms, when you do a principle, so we never made the Gezerah in the first place. That's the simple distinction between the two approaches in the Gemara about Hefker Bezdin Hefker, or about whether Shvius Bisman Hazeh is the Rabbanan. Now the question is, okay, but what exactly, is there a mechanism? When we're talking about writing this prosbam, is it a joke? Is it like, the Rabbanan didn't make the Gzeira if you pretend? It's sort of funny, isn't it? I'm writing out something that really doesn't make any sense, but the solution to why I can use something that makes no sense is because the Rabbanan decided to pretend it makes sense. That's a little bit difficult to believe. As we've seen all along, there's never a Takana de Rabbanan that isn't predicated on some issue which we have found, which is a Mi'ein D'Oraisa. So if somehow or other the principle is the equivalent of Mesira of the Shtarot to Beit Din, so then it sort of at least makes sense that maybe on some level the principle works by the Beis Din extending its authority to cases where a person indicated that he is intending to collect these various loans that he has through the Beis Din. And the pashtus of the Ritva is that in doing that, you've essentially initiated a court case. And that the principle consists of the initiation of the collection process. So the Torah says, do not be gos reyecha. That gos reyecha means don't go to court. Don't start putting pressure. But I've already done that. I did that before the Shvius was Meshameh. Therefore, I'm not going to be over on the Lo Yigos. And I view this, possibly some learn that it's even considered to be collected because the court already has committed itself, so to speak, to do the collection. And therefore, either it's the beginning of the collection or it's the actual collection, even though the money is still in the hands of the other person and so on. Okay. That is certainly a possibility. The way the Rambam writes about it, not in Mishnah Torah, but the way he writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is that it's a statement to the court that I intend to use you to collect these debts. He doesn't explain why that works. Could be that he's basically saying the same thing. That is part of the collection. So now, since Shvius is Mishametet Bisofo, since this is a din only in Achicha, before we get to the particulars of how one writes this and what type of Beis Din is able to do this, and if it is predicated on the din of Hefker Beis Din Hefker, then remember, not every two-bit Beis Din is empowered to utilize Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Now, that issue becomes a major problem because Rabbeinu Tam wrote, even though later he clearly had charota from that psak, but he wrote that since this is a din in Hefker Beis Din Hefker, it can only be achieved by going to the top Beis Din in the land. I mean, you've got to go to somebody that everybody is makabel. I mean, initially, he says a terrible psak. He says, we can't use the principle of Bisman Hazeh because we don't have a Beis Din that is able to be mafkir people's money. Afterwards, Yad Harota. We'll talk about that later, but first I just want to bring out the fact that since the entire idea of that Sifri is based on Achicha, you've got some interesting questions. And these are modern questions that have been argued so beautifully. Is a bank Achicha? Right? Now this has been a major issue in Paiskim we're talking about a century at least. Is a bank a partnership, or is there a new concept of a corporation in which a corporation cannot be included under Achicha because there is no human that is in the corporation? There's no human that is going to be responsible. There's no human that has actually any personal interest. I mean, obviously, agav, there will be immense personal interest, but that's the whole point of a corporation, is to keep the individual, personal humans out of the picture. So this is like a whole shaila among the poskim over a very long period of time. what is the status of a bank? And this, of course, is nogea other things as well. So again, chometz pepesach, and whether this is considered to be owned, you know, by a Jew, and so on. So, I mean, that's a big shaila, and there's another big shaila, which is, especially in the banks in Eretz Yisrael, the question of a heter iska, when you have a loan that is an interest-bearing loan, so you write out a heter iska. Now, you will recall when we were learning all of the dinim of ribis, and we were doing Baba Metzia and so on, and we spoke about heter iska, that every iska is created, half of it is created as a loan. And it doesn't really bear any interest at all. It's just that there's a certain income that's granted from the investment, and that ends up effectively being interest, but isn't. It's the results of an investment where we're unable to prove that you don't owe this much because this is what came in. And it's structured in such a way that half is a loan. So does that mean that the heter iska, the part of it that's a loan, is going to be bottle in Shemitah? Or does the heter iska really turn it into a business and not a loan at all? It's very interesting. That itself is a question. That's a big machlokas haposkim. The idea that a corporation is not considered to be a person at all is a classic Ragachover issue. This was like exactly his brilliance and his knowledge of the way the world of finance works, right? So he says that in that event, it's not possible to talk about the concept of being meshamet es achicha bichlal. And therefore, it's mashma that, according to him, and did the modern poskim paskin that way as well? The Debra of Mesha seems to have held that. I don't say 100% that, but he seems to have held that. Certainly Rabbi Yashiv held that, so that in practical terms, the Prusbel, even though that's done, Lamaisa, and Prusbels are written just in case, but the Prusbel isn't really necessary for that kind of thing. And there's all kinds of beautiful questions about, this also comes up in so many areas, what's the din of paying somebody by a check? Suppose you gave a check. Now, if the check was given 2 days before the end of the year, is the check basically a commitment to pay with a shtar, or is a check an actual payment? You could see what you get, especially if you give checks, head checks, right? So you get into the whole question of, okay, when are they post-dated to? So they're post-dated post-Shemitah. Is that the same thing as all of the debts that are dated after Shemitah, which we spoke about? We said you're only going to be over on Lo Yigos if they're collectible during Shemitah. Again, a lot of different shitas about this. And it's always a good idea to have a principle just in case. All right, well.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Long answer probably, but used to be that money was gold or silver, so it had intrinsic value, but today it's a promise to.
Very long answer, right? Okay, that's our Baba Metzia Bezrat Hashem issues coming up very soon. After all,
he's passing the buck.
I am indeed. And we're already in Nashim, heading right out there to Nazikin any day now. Okay, everyone, it's been wonderful. Bezrat Hashem, I hope to see you tomorrow again, Bezocha, to learn with you, and to continue, certainly Nazir. Maybe we'll even have time for our next Mishnah. Kol Tov.